Stephanie Miller Show. If I crash the show, do not evacuate everyone. Just stay in your seats.
Can you believe that?
Oh, my God. And I'm such a Catholic girl, I would have just followed orders. I would have been like, burning plane, crash. What else could go wrong? I'll just sit here until you tell
me otherwise.
Dangling
from your seat by your seat belt.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'll just stay right here.
Great. Let's have a picnic. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, what the? 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. We got our good buddy right out of the box. Yeah, here he comes.
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning, Stephanie. I come to you live from Juneau, Alaska, where we are just waiting for the campaign announcement of one Sarah Palin, the former less than half-term governor of Alaska, who might make a run for the Senate.
Right. As you tweeted, anyone in the media who seriously reports Palin may run for Senate of Alaska needs to give up and find a new career. Journalism just isn't their thing.
I retract that tweet, Stephanie. I'm here in Alaska. I'm waiting for Sarah Palin.
No,
I could be here a while.
No, you are not. You think maybe she's just trying to say, relevant in some
way?
Well,
here's the freaking comical thing. It just ticks me off. Last week, we were reporting news that she had signed her contract with Fox News. And does the media really think, after she's let back into the big money that Fox News is, that she's going to turn around and run for the Senate and maybe not win a primary? Come on, people.
Right, come on, people. Pay attention, really. She can't think of any other way to go, look at me again. I'm relevant.
Well, and they fall for it, and yet, you know, if this was somebody else, they'd punish them for it. You know, she only does interviews with Fox News. Well, if a newsmaker only did interviews with one network, you'd think that the media would wise up and say, okay, well, we'll talk about it when you want to talk with us about it.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, she was on Sean Hannity's radio show, another, journalistic hotbed.
Beacon of journalistic ethics and truth.
Right, and that's where she... And she also continued her assault against the English language. Did you actually... I have the actual sentence in front of me. She said, I've considered it because people have requested me consider it. What?
Oh, it got a little bit worse as she went on, too.
Right.
I mean, fascinating.
I have that, too. I'm still waiting to see what the lineup will be and hoping there will be some new blood, new energy, not just kind of picking from the same old politicians in the state that come from political families. Not the same old politicians? What are you?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, one of the guys that's running for it is the kind of new blood that she wanted last time around that challenged Lisa Murkowski. And he won the Republican primary, and then she kicked his butt with a write-in campaign in Alaska. So I don't know if she means new blood or new blood. Is it now double negative since she's been gone for so long that she would be the new blood?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And also, in addition, missing some prepositions that have gone missing.
The English language is just liberally biased.
Right.
That's right.
As are number shapes, letters, sounds, colors.
Right. She thinks there's generally not enough, you know, words and sentences, and she needs to jam a few more in.
That's right.
All right.
She's quite good at it.
Speaking of girl politicians, you tweet, looks like the GOP has found another ism to go after Hillary Clinton. Ageism, because 30 years of sexism directed her way worked so well for them.
And this is where Democrats just, we don't get it. We look at the Republicans and we're like, are you serious, people? Ronald Reagan, John McCain, Ronald Reagan, when we talk about the age thing that Republicans are trying to pull on Hillary Clinton, because we're shocked that they would have the temerity to bring up an age question Bob Dole, for crying out loud, when they've run, everyone just shy of the Crypt Keeper for the presidency. Nowhere is it my turn politics more present than in the Republican Party, where for the better part of 30 years, every Republican ticket had a Bush or a Dole on it. And for the better part of 35 years, almost 40 years, every Republican nominee had to run and lose at least once before getting the nomination.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I feel her poll numbers going up every time they do it, don't you?
Well, this is what they don't get about it. There are probably two, maybe three generations of women now in this country who have seen Hillary deal with what American women have dealt with in this country. She is of a generation where she couldn't just, grow up and be president. She had to, be a political spouse for a while. And they've seen her attacked with everything and the kitchen sink. Sexism, why didn't you change your name, your hair? I mean, I remember when I was a young Republican in the 90s that there were videos that talked about Hillary's hair where they had these, it was like a slideshow of the hundreds of different kind of haircuts that she had.
Right.
Of course, you know, they didn't do the same thing to Bill Clinton. Women remember this. They remember the attacks that she had to handle as first lady, the first of any kind that I'm aware of any first lady, maybe Eleanor Roosevelt, but certainly in a different age. And they've seen her, you know, thrive as a result, and push through that stuff. So for a lot of young women, Hillary Clinton is, this is a woman that we've matured with.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. Hey, speaking of lack of journalism, have you seen comment at all on Broccoligate?
I have not.
Yes. President Obama tells kids his favorite fruit is broccoli.
Oh, then he must have been subvertly attacking an ailing president,
right.
George H.W.
That's
Bush,
right.
Because he didn't like broccoli.
That's right. Clearly. Has he no shame? Has he no sense of decency at long last?
I hate to break it to people. Broccoli is one of my favorite foods, too.
Me, too.
I don't mind it.
I think that, you know who doesn't like broccoli are the kids whose mothers boiled it when they were growing up.
Right.
You steam
too
it,
mushy.
It's really good.
Right. Yes, Prince, in case you're late to the Broccoligate party, President Obama made an unscheduled visit Tuesday to the second annual Kids State Dinner, a healthy lunch children's event hosted by First Lady Michelle Obama. You think Fox News will cover this? Yes, in the East Room of the White House. As he left, he was asked what his favorite food is. His answer was broccoli.
It's absolute tyranny, Stephanie. The idea that Michelle Obama would force children to come to the White House and eat for the President of the United States. It's just tyranny.
Right.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that they had cameras there.
Right. Right. Not surprisingly, Twitter erupted in mock scorn over the Commander-in-Chief's purported vegetable enthusiasm. Broccoli was soon trending on Twitter. Full-on Broccoligate began to boil.
I mean, what do they want him to say? Do they want him to take, like, Chris Christie's favorite vegetable or favorite, you know, vegetable is pizza?
Yes, let's see. Our first BuzzFeed said our first broccoli present. There was a photo mashup of Obama and a head of broccoli. Ari Fleischer tweeted.
Oh, yeah, that's not skirting the line of racism.
Right. Ari Fleischer tweeted, what kind of POTUS says his favorite food is broccoli? Same one in 2008 who complained about the price of arugula at Whole Foods. Oh, snap. It's the liberal elitist is back.
Yeah, he likes those weird exotic vegetables like arugula salads that are grown in the heartland of America.
David Plus said all GOP 2016ers will now have to pledge to never eat broccoli again. Maybe a new angle for Grover Norquist.
You know, of all of the crazy attacks, I've said it before, you know, the president could take his daughters ice skating on the National Mall and the right wing would accuse him of trying to be like Jesus and walking on water.
Right.
Of all the crazy attacks that have ever been leveraged against this president,
right.
This whole, you know, food Nazis, the salt, they don't want salt in your food. They don't want you to be able to get salt and they want you to eat
big
vegetables.
Government.
All of that stuff is the craziest bunch of BS I've ever heard. And it's not just crazy. It's like harmful to our kids. I mean, our kids are, you know, if the right wing was really smart, they'd embrace this because we all know that their best case scenario for this country is a bunch of able-bodied children workers to work in factories again. And if their fingers are too fat,
that's right,
they won't be able to play with the doohickeys and the whatnot.
Exactly. I don't know if you follow LOL GOP on Twitter. But he tweeted, breaking, Venezuela offers asylum to America's broccoli. Slate's Dave Weigel said, this broccoli discussion, more proof you could fire half the press corps at random and America would be fine.
Yeah, and you know what? I frankly, I wish that everybody on the right who thinks that this is a problem or has ever criticized the First Lady or the President over the food policy in this country, I wish that they would have a scare with coronary heart disease to break them from that lunacy and bring them back to reality.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Broccoligate is also going to get deeper and darker, I think, in the right-wing fringes today in radio. Earlier this year, Michelle Obama said the First Family is, in fact, a broccoli household.
Oh. Shocking.
She said it's the one vegetable my children will eat without creating chaos and havoc. There's never quite clear harmony at the dinner table over the vegetables, but broccoli is the unifier in our household.
Yeah, what are they getting from, you know, if the First Lady, if her advisors were smart, she'd hold a press conference about some other topic, and then she'd just pick up a giant ear of, like a giant head of broccoli, like Palin did with the big gulp.
Start just munching it raw. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this will be another opportunity for Rush Limbaugh to call her fat today.
So, well, he likes broccoli too, but he likes it covered in like Oxycontin? Cheese whiz.
Deep fried. Yeah, cheese sauce. That's how my mom gave it to us.
Cheese sauce with powdered OxyContin.
Even I know that color of cheese sauce does not come from nature.
Yeah.
It is like something that was invented in the 50s, and they're like, it's black and white TV. Maybe if we just make it this horrible, horrible color, they can see the color on TV.
Those were the days of better living through chemistry. Let's make everything fake.
NASA, they even have this cheese grossness in space.
Yes.
If it doesn't come from a box, it's not food.
Exactly. All right. Carl Frisch, delightful as usual. Talk to you next week, honey.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. There you go.
Hi.
All right. Jim's late, however, there are new details about Asiana Airlines flight. So we'll be back to plane talk.
Plane talk.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Comedian extraordinaire Judy Gold live in studio. Hour number 3. What a tweet. A comedy tweet. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
She will tweet, too.
From anywhere. Yes, right. She will tweet about what a comedy tweet she is.
Yes.
All right. Daryl in Memphis is an airline mechanic. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just looking at a lot of stuff everywhere, all this supposed information and a lot of speculation from all these supposed authorities on what could have gone wrong with this particular crash landing.
Right.
And it's amazing to me, with now the story coming out that, they delayed the evacuation of the aircraft and all. It's just a cluster of blunders.
Right. Thank you for saying blunders and not the word that normally goes after cluster.
there's so many things that can go wrong on a commercial airliner that, to be totally honest, most of the passengers would never, ever know about.
Right, yeah, thank God.
So to have an airliner, especially one as technically advanced as this is, to crash land, I'm not sure what policies existed at that airline that would allow someone of so little experience to even be in this position.
Well, I mean, that's what it seems, Daryl, the combination of that this is the first time he's landed this particular plane at this particular airport, and this is the first flight that the regular pilot is a flight instructor, right?
Yes, yes, and that is something that never, ever should occur. I remember when I worked for a previous passenger carrier, when we were first getting our advanced wide bodies into service, and it was actually the Airbus competitor for the 777, I remember them coming and taking an airplane from us from the hangar, and I was actually working in Philadelphia at the time, and they would go down Atlantic City, and each pilot would practice 8 touch and goes. Nobody on the airplane mm-hmm. except the 2 pilots, the flight instructor, and me because I was invited to go.
Right.
But we were not. Now, understand, of course, first officers and captains will have check airmen on board. But it's insane to me, knowing that this was probably only his maybe 8th time ever flying this airliner.
Right.
That you would allow him to make that attempt with 300 people on board.
Well, and this latest thing, as you were alluding to, the pilot initially told passengers not to evacuate after the crash. What could possibly, I mean, that's just so counterintuitive, right? I know as a mechanic you can say, a plane has crashed, there's a lot of jet fuel, likely to be a fire. What could possibly go wrong now, right?
Well, they couldn't have exited over the right wing because that's where the fire was, but the left side of the plane was was wide open.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, typically a 777 is going to have at least 8 exits.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the flight attendants always tell us, and unfortunately a lot of us ignore it, but they make sure you're aware of where your nearest exit is because the closest one could be behind you and all that.
Right.
But to not immediately issue an evacuation order, I can only suspect is as a result of shame.
Hmm.
Well, they say the delay occurred as the pilot checked with the tower at the airport. But, you know, I mean, it seems the NTSB said yesterday people did not begin fleeing the aircraft till 90 seconds later when a fire erupted.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine?
Right.
Please stay in your seats. All right, you can go now.
Going to catch fire.
Right.
At which point it'll be impossible to evacuate. So
right.
Good luck with that.
Right.
Yeah.
We had an incident one time where it was a wide body. And, you know, thankfully, it was on a maintenance run, and we had a complete explosive turbine failure. And I was not on the airplane. One of a couple of my coworkers were. And, you know, it was a complete runaway fire. No matter what they did, they couldn't put the fire out. And, of course, the only communication with the tower, which is standard, is to declare an emergency, let them know your location, and abandon the aircraft. I can't imagine that part of that process is to check with the tower first before you tell the people to get off the airplane.
Right, exactly. At that point, what does the tower have to do with it? You've already landed, for better or worse, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
You know, Daryl, I'm wondering, you know, what you think. I mean, you know, what it reminded me of is 9/11, Jim, when people were told to stay, you know, in their office. And I'm just wondering, in future emergencies, is this going to affect people doing what they're told? Because, you know, you hear stories like this and people think, screw it. But you think, is that ultimately going to make it worse? Is there going to be, you know, more panic and chaos in a future emergency?
Well, you know, that can go a lot of ways. Because, unfortunately, in the climate that we live in today, God forbid you're in a crash or an emergency and nothing seems to be happening as you think it should, someone may be apt to run for an emergency exit when they're not instructed to do so. The problem with that is, one, as a general flying passenger, you're really not aware of what the situation is with that airplane.
Yeah, that's true. You're like a bouncy house. I would for sure just bounce off of you to get out of whatever emergency I'm in.
I don't bounce. I have nothing jiggly on me.
Bumbles bounce.
You're spongy. I would just pole vault right off you. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Some fresh-faced 45-year-old bimbo.
Right, they used to be a rock jock, everybody. They ain't related, but they do be brothers. 34, off of the Iowa. Whatever.
When are you ever going to get over that cold of yours?
That's since the 80s. Good morning, everybody. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, live in hour 3. And I'm waiting with bated breath to see if Jackie Schechner says yes to a healthcare corner at the top of the hour. Lots of stuff going on.
Why don't you just spring it on her at 7 o'clock like you usually do?
I could. I texted her instead because I'm polite like that.
After
lots
you.
Of stuff after you. Lots of stuff going on, obviously, with the Affordable Care Act. All right. So we were talking about the... this was an incredible story. Can I just say, not really a good idea they don't test them for drugs or alcohol after the flight, because of what the...
No, they're not required to.
Right?
Perhaps
I'm like thinking, is this guy high? Not just the landing, but the pilot initially told passengers not to evacuate.
Wow.
See, and I'm a Catholic school girl at heart. I probably would have sat there with my, you know,
okay.
My hands crossed, knees together.
Doing your rosary.
Yeah. I had a teacher that used to always do this with her fingers like that, which meant put your knees together. So I would have just sat there with my legs crossed and my... Okay, when might be a good time, Mr. Pilot?
Hanging there,
sir?
With blood dripping from your head.
Yeah. When might be a good time for me to get out? Should I wait till the jet fuel reaches me?
Let us run away as fast as we can from the plane first, that no one lynches us.
Right. Oh, God. By the way, somebody was saying, and I hope not, God forbid, but somebody, a friend of mine was saying, like, God forbid, I hope they don't kill themselves, you know, because, I mean, in Asian culture, I mean, I just... Well, I know nobody seems to know yet what exactly happened. Right, I know, but...
I'm sure
this is, you know, this is obviously, this is, what did somebody say about maybe because it was out of shame or something? Our last caller was saying that. Officials say the delay occurred as the pilot checked with the tower at the airport. I love that. Tower. We crashed the plane.
We're on fire.
The tower's like.
What do you mean? Should we let the passengers out? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Tower, this is Asiana Airlines Flight 214.
Actually, there wouldn't be plane noise because they're already on the ground.
We have arrived.
Crackling fire noise.
Yeah.
We have arrived.
Seagulls.
Yeah. Tower's like, we saw that. Nicely done.
Mine.
Yeah, the Russian judge gave you a little bit of a low score for that landing, but I don't know. That it just really is. It's more incredible details. But
they're still talking about the automatic throttles, which they set for a landing speed of 37 knots.
I got it.
But no one thought to look at the airspeed indicator. We're not actually going 137 knots.
See, we trust the machines too much, and now you know what's going to happen? It's going to be iRobot, and only Will Smith can save us.
Skynet's going to take over.
Right?
That's from the Terminator.
Right.
Skynet took over.
Yeah,
all the robots rose
up.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Arnold Schwarzenegger already took over here in California. We know that.
Yeah.
So, trust me, I know. The pilots of the Asiana Airlines jet that crashed, as Jim just alluded to, say it was set for the proper landing speed. Outside experts suggest they relied too much on technology because, it's like an auto. They compared it to cruise control, right, in a car that they say, it was set.
Mm-hmm.
But it obviously was not. They said in interviews with the safety board that they set the auto throttles to maintain an airspeed of 137, which they're saying is just like when you set your car on cruise control.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a significantly faster speed than the plane actually achieved as it was landing.
Which they would have known if they had looked at the airspeed indicator, which seems pretty
elementary. See, this is what Jim and I have talked about, that when the GPS or the whatever is wrong, you just follow it. People literally followed it into a lake.
Right. Right.
They're like, no, the machine says it's this way. And you're like, that looks like a lake to me.
You would do that.
Splash. Right. I'm just saying. I don't trust
it. I was just following orders.
Oh, geez. This is actually late for a Hitler reference, though. No, I don't, because sometimes it's wrong. I don't trust any of it. The Google directions, the MapQuest, the Bible.
Whatever.
Google Maps is a hell of a lot better than Apple Maps. Let me just tell you that right now.
Okay. No, you know what's good? The Apple, the phone is good. The dropping a pin thing. What is that?
Apple. You trust Apple Maps?
Yes, I am.
Apple Maps took me on a wild goose chase trying to find a Walgreens in Vegas that didn't actually exist.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's probably because Siri hates you, Chris Lavoie.
Maybe you had candy Apple Maps.
I do not know what you mean by Chris Lavoie.
And so I downloaded Google Maps, and it's so much better.
Hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting. Okay, well, I've had better luck then. Okay,
I guess you have.
But yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of it, is trusting the thing says we're going fine. I don't know. It seems like the runway's right. Okay, well, I guess
Recalculating.
That looks like Lake Erie. Exactly. It is clear. It is currently recalculating. Okay, so they said, obviously, that they had said it. Investigators are still trying to verify whether the throttlers were actually properly activated or not. The pilot statements do not resolve the central question of why the Boeing 777 speed and altitude fell so far out of the normal range for landing at SFO before it hit a seawall. Outside air safety experts said the statements suggest a risky reliance on technology when the flight crew should have been constantly monitoring the airplane speed. I mean, that's what I mean, Jim. What is it, four pilots? Nobody was looking at the altimeter and going, gee, it's... Doesn't say 137, right?
No, altimeter is altitude.
Or whatever.
Airspeed indicator.
Right, exactly.
Oh, boy.
How even more hilarious is that I had to check out those small planes to send them up. I don't know which is which. They're like, just make sure the doohickeys all say the thing and then put...
You don't know
and
if flaps like and little, aileron.
There was like a little, cardboard tag that then I would put on the steering wheel.
To say what should be checked out.
Is it called a steering
no,
wheel?
No, it's called a yoke.
See? That I would have to put on the yoke. To say this is okay.
She said yolk.
Checked out by SM.
Egg yolk.
Yeah, you said YOLK, didn't you?
I don't know.
You pronounced the L when there was no
yolk.
L in
yolk. It's YOLKE.
Yolk. Fright.
The yolk.
No, they just have a fried egg in the instrument panel.
Yeah, that's it.
No wonder they crashed.
You steered with a fried egg.
Sorry, I was eating an egg sandwich in here while I was checking it out in the morning. Sorry.
You left a yolk.
Wow, we are lucky there was not more tragedies at that little airport that I got a job at after college.
Planes falling out of the sky all over Van Nuys.
I didn't even know. I just tapped the little things. Oh, that looks good. That's okay. Whatever that little doohickey is.
What does that do?
I don't know.
It does nothing.
It was a lot of years ago. They gave me a checklist of things that I had to check out, and then I put a little, like the do not disturb sign on the thing. Good. Good to go.
They have more modern avionics now for planes, even like for Cessnas.
Yeah, back in the 50s when she was doing that.
Yeah, you're right.
It was not the 50s.
Back in the Truman administration.
It's okay, Red Baron. All set to go on. All right. A former pilot, air safety consultant, said whether it was engaged or not is almost irrelevant. The big mystery of Flight 214 is why in God's name did these two pilots sit there and allow the airspeed to get so low? Experts say the pilots should have been monitoring the plane's speed every few seconds and could have manually taken control of the engines at any time.
Yeah.
Auto throttles, which are connected to an airplane's flight management computer, allow pilots to select the appropriate speeds for takeoff, cruising, or landing. The devices automatically make corrections if there are deviations from the setting. So, again, they're going to have to figure out, were they set? Was it malfunctioning? And experts are saying what they're saying, that it still shouldn't have mattered.
Right.
They should have been able to...
correct it manually.
Exactly. When our music computer goes down, you just sing, because that's,
there's nothing else you can
do. What's the worst thing in radio?
Silence.
Well, not as bad as you're singing, but still. Dead air.
Dead air.
Mm-hmm. The Asiana pilots were making a visual approach to San Francisco without the instrument landing system. We talked about this yesterday, a part of which was not operating due to airfield renovations. It does seem in some ways a perfect storm of stuff like that. Like this one thing or that one thing shouldn't have mattered. It sounds like the combination of things of inexperience. And anyway, the NTSB officials said there were other automated systems and visual references available to assist the flight crew. But as our caller was saying earlier, it was... The pilot that landed the plane, Lee Kang Cook, is that his name? It was his first landing in San Francisco in the Boeing 777. And the guy that was supervising him, his first landing at the airport in a training situation. I think he'd just been certified June 15th or something. And then there was this yesterday. The only the pilot in the left-hand seat, in this case the one who was not yet fully qualified to land the 777 that could see the runway, during the turn, the supervising pilot in the right-hand seat could not see the runway from his position, which also makes no sense to me. Trust me, it looked good.
Was he 4 feet tall or something?
Yeah. I am not a good person. When people say, can you look and see if there's something, I'm always like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Is it okay to get
to turn? Yeah, don't ask me. I'm not a good...
Oh, yeah, it's fine, except for the three cars turning right corner.
I'm not a good co-pilot. Don't ask me. I've never quite grasped the whole objects in the mirror look. I'm like, well, what is the point of that then? How close is it? How who can tell?
I'm going to stare at the mirror until it gets closer.
Right, it's designed to trick you. can we turn now? Because it doesn't tell you how much closer objects are than they appear.
It's kind that of can a be wide critical. Angle lens kind of thing.
So right.
You so you can more. See more.
That can be critical in certain situations. Okay.
Can I go? If you punch it. Yeah.
Depends on how's your accelerator.
How many horses
do you have? Turbo?
During a news briefing in Seoul on Tuesday, Asiana president defended the pilots, saying they were excellent. Oh, okay. All right. Well then.
Other than that, how'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah, different standards of excellence, I guess. All right. John in L.A., also one of our many pilots listening. I'm starting to believe that only pilots listen to this
probably.
Show.
Probably.
Hi, John. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie and Mooks. I'm a pilot here. I fly out of Fullerton. And, I've been listening to your show for years. Oh. I went to your sexy liberal show last year.
Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you.
But anyway, everybody's talking about setting the airspeed, and that's probably what they did coming in on the approach. But after that, you got to deploy the flaps, put down the landing gear, and that creates a tremendous drag on the plane, and you have to compensate it with more power.
Right.
So, maybe that's one thing that happened after they set the airspeed. and didn't compensate it after they put down the landing gear.
Hmm.
So.
Well, and I mean, John, what were they thinking in trying to accelerate? I mean, literally, they were like, what, a second before impact? I mean, at that point, I know your options are obviously limited, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, doesn't it take like 10 seconds to power up the engines?
Everything, every time you come into land as a pilot, it is a pitch for airspeed, mm-hmm. which is, you know, controlling the nose,
right.
and power for altitude.
Area of reverse command.
Literally,
yeah,
that's what you think when they train you.
Mm-hmm.
So they just came in too low. And why they didn't see the Pappy lights, I understand the glide slope was out, but, you know, the Pappy lights were the real big red flag that mm-hmm. every one of those pilots should have been able to look out and go, hey, you're 3 miles out and you're below the
John,
glide slope.
How yeah. significant is that as a pilot, though, the thing that was out that you were talking about? I mean, if you were landing, would that be something that really would trouble you as a pilot, that particular system wasn't working? Or?
Well, on a glide slope, you use that in IMC, where you have bad weather, because you follow that till you come down to the threshold and see the airport environment, and then you take over visual and land. So on a clear day, like it was up in San Francisco that day, it was all visual flight rules, so you really wouldn't have to use the glide slope
only
to double-check to make sure you're on the glide slope, and you'd have those Pappy lights you'd see from, you know, 3 miles out or further, mm-hmm. you know, to red over white, you're all right. If it's all red, you're too low, so that means you just level the plane out and put in more power
right.
so you get on the correct visual glide slope to the threshold.
That's the mnemonic device, though. Red on red, you're dead. But,
yeah, there you go.
Well,
John, I have one other pilot question for you. Why do all of you guys sound normal on the phone, but on the public address system, you all sound the same? What's that about?
I don't have a public address system in my Bonanza, but I just used to turn my head around and say, hey, be quiet.
There you go.
All right, it's only the big planes. All right, thanks, John. What is that, Jim? Why? I always wondered if they paused that much in person.
Well, this is your captain speaking. I'm not technically speaking yet. I'm just going,
Seriously, are they like that at home? Honey?
Could you pass the sugar?
Right. Like, stop it. That's annoying. Stop pausing. All right, 48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The NTSB chairwoman yesterday.
As the evacuation went on, the fire did continue, and the flight attendants and the flight crew were involved in trying to fight the fire on the inside.
Wow, I wonder what the discussions were in the plane when the pilot said, now you all just hush and stay put. I'm guessing there was not applause for the landing like there is
No.
And maybe there was some, you know, right. Oh, just hush.
You suck.
Shut your pie holes and just sit there. I'll
sit there
fine.
And take it.
Fire? How could there possibly be fire? Don't be moron. Oh, okay, there's fire. Everybody get out.
There's a fire.
It's that PSA that we run. This is running in our minds.
Right.
There's fire.
Dial 911.
Can we get out?
No, you can't.
It says no.
No.
I was just making coffee, and it took too long because the automatic throttles were stuck.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Sure.
Seeing you were relying on instruments rather than just visually going, oh, the coffee's not done. Damn kids these days and their gadgets. Okay, Asiana Airlines spokeswoman.
This was a very emotional event for the people who are here right now, and a lot of their coworkers are still hospitalized. These are not the entire crew members.
It turns out I heard that actually 3 flight attendants were, you know, ejected from the plane and landed on the runway. They originally said 2, but 3 of them were, I think, in the back and were injured, obviously.
Right.
Were ejected
and they're still
the
in the hospital.
Yeah. Here's a montage of 911 calls.
We just we're at the San Francisco airport and our airplane just crashed upon landing, and I think we need some ambulance up here to see if it's helpful.
There are people laying on the tarmac with critical injuries, head injuries. We're almost losing a woman here. We're trying to keep her alive.
That first guy. Yeah, we're at the San Francisco airport, and our plane just crashed, and we're walking on the tarmac, and he sounded way too calm.
Yeah,
that would not be me.
Well, there are people, you know, there's always people that are calm in emergencies. I am an emergency spaz. I am not the person you want to be with in an emergency. I'm very panicky, very high strung.
You sure you know how to open the door?
What?
Oh, yeah, I got it. Until
Fire!
I got to hear that guy again. Hello.
Hello. Crash.
We have just landed at the San Francisco. He's like the normal person that turns on their cell phone. Hey, honey, we're here. Okay. Right. Baggage claim?
Baggage claim, not really an issue.
Waiting for my bag might be a while. Okay.
We just, we're at the San Francisco airport and our airplane just crashed upon landing. And I think we need some ambulance out here to see if it's helpful.
I think we need somebody here as soon as possible.
You know, if there's any chance you can get here, you know, anytime soon, be good.
Also, the tail fell off.
So the tail is in the sea. Just, wow! That is, you know what, as an emergency spaz, I got to give it up for that guy. That is amazing.
If he availed himself of the in-flight beverages...
Sure. Oh. You know, the beverage cart is laying in the grass next to the tarp.
Hey,
you know.
Look at this.
Hey, okay, right. I'll have some.
I want some Bloody Mary.
God. I remember my dearly departed Great Pyrenees Puff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember when she was getting older, it was not anything like really bad or fatal. She just had these little eye things that would, you know, they would pop sometimes. It was like a growth, but, you know, she was too old to, you know, put her under anesthesia and remove them. But every now and again, she came in and there was just blood over her face. And I was like, wow! There was a friend there. I was like, it's okay. And cleaned her up and she was fine. But I was like, no!
She's like Leatherface coming in, licking you.
Oh, yikes.
I spent some time cleaning up some of her droppings in the house when in the latter days.
You know. Yes. Thank you, Jim.
I had some Kleenex nearby.
And I retroactively appreciate that. Thank you. I got to hear that guy one more time. That is just amazing.
Yeah.
We just, we're at the San Francisco airport, and our airplane just crashed upon landing. Uh-huh. And I think we need some ambulance out here to see if it's helpful.
Okay. Wow, he is really, like, he is a polite chipmunk.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, anytime's good.
Wave this.
Up to you. Oh, no. You first. Yes. Thank you.
Anytime it's good
he
for you.
He started out. Yeah, we're at the San Francisco airport.
I'll be here. We just crashed.
Our plane crashed.
Yeah, probably need somebody, some assistance.
Normally,
of some
I'd be at TGI Fridays now, but I'm on the tarmac looking for the tail.
I cannot locate my bag or the tail of the plane. Might someone assist us? Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back to the Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the only radio show in the country listened to exclusively by pilots. James in Salt Lake City, welcome to Plane Talk. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, James. Go ahead. You are a pilot.
Yes, correct.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm a pilot. I'm a pilot for a U.S. major airline, and I was just listening to your radio show. And I guess there's a lot of speculation up to this point, so I'm just going to add one of my speculations. As a pilot is a standard operating procedure, if there's any problem with the landing specifically, that we assess the situation, and they will give command to either evacuate or do not evacuate an aircraft. Evacuation of aircraft is an extremely complicated process to the flight attendants. They have to shut out commands. They have to prepare themselves. to put out fires and to guide passengers to the exit.
Right.
As you probably know, the exits are very small. They're not really your primary option. The only speculation that I have listening to all the reports so far on the AGNA flight is that once upon landing, the passengers were not fully aware of everything going around them. There was no indication from the cockpit that there was a fire anywhere in the aircraft. So they told everybody to stay seated, and then they relayed the problem with the tower and everything else.
Right, but
I'm sure.
It would seem that time is critical, right? When you clearly, I don't think anyone had to tell them that they had crash landed. I mean,
correct. Yeah. Just because there's a problem on the landing doesn't mean you have to evacuate. There's a lot of times where we, a couple of times where we landed before with a problem on the aircraft, either the flaps didn't come down or other issue with the hydraulics. We landed, emergency personnel were waiting for us, but we did not necessarily evacuate the aircraft.
I see. All right, James. I appreciate it. Yeah, I get what your point is. I love how calmly he said that. Mm-hmm. If there is a, you know, landing is in any way problematic, I think actually think that would be called a crash.
Crash.
You call it a crash.
Not necessarily.
I think at some point they pass problematic landing into a...
This flight.
A problematic landing is a hard landing.
Right.
You know, that,
right.
But, yeah.
All right.
Blow out a tire or something.
Yeah, that's problematic.
You know who always makes a soft landing? Because she's so teeny.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Like a little ballerina.
Like a fairy.
Reading news. Never mind, I'm not going to say it. Where are you going with that? I'm the only one who didn't fail. Nope. And got it right. That's right. Was Jackie Sheckner. She does the news. So happy it's Sheckner. Oh, we're always so happy it's Sheckner. Good morning, Jackie Sheckner.
Well, good morning.
I'm sure it comes as a great shock to you that the Republicans are being unhelpful about the Affordable Care Act.
Yep, once again.
Yes, the headline is Republicans press White House to delay key Obamacare mandate. Huh. Congressional Republicans press President Obama to delay a requirement under his health care law that Americans obtain insurance next year after the administration gave employers a one-year reprieve. You called this. You said this is the problem, right?
They're going to try to unravel it piece by piece. Here are two issues with this, though.
Yes.
You know, first of all, having the mandate in there is important because we need everybody to pay into the pool. I mean, the whole idea here is that we're all going to use health care at some point, and everybody's got to contribute. And if you're not going to buy health insurance and you're going to run the risk of getting sick and needing to use an emergency room, everybody else is going to pay for you because that's how it is now.
Right.
So the idea is to get everybody into the pool and to pay their fair share. Now, that pool happens to be a giant pool of private health insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's no public option, and that is not ideal. But that's part of why we need to have this mandate in place, because that's the way the system's going to work and the way we're going to make some changes. The problem for the Republicans on this one is that the insurers want that mandate. Right. The insurance companies want it because it requires everybody to buy their product. So the corporate sponsors of the House Republicans and who are fighting so strongly against this are probably like, whoa, 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 stop.
Well, as you can imagine, Jackie, the House Republicans were very troubled, very troubled. They wrote to the president, please provide to Congress your justification for not only delaying the employer mandate at this time and not the new mandate on individuals and families. We agree with you that the burden was overwhelming for employers, but we also believe American families need the same relief.
Yeah, it wasn't overwhelming for employers. There was it really wasn't going to impact a whole lot of employers to begin with. And things are a little weighty and complicated, and there's a lot of lobbying going on behind the scenes. And the administration softened a little bit on some of the requirements. I think it's a heavy lift, and so they're trying to figure out where they can give a little to get this all up and running in the time frame it needs to be.
Right. The White House said the individual mandate will go forward because it provides financial assistance to help lower-income people pay for insurance, correct?
Right. I mean, this is what we're using to help subsidize both the expansion of Medicaid and also for the subsidies for people within the exchanges.
He said next year millions of Americans will get the help they need to purchase quality health insurance they currently cannot afford. Here's Jay Carney yesterday.
People who suggest that there's anything unusual about the delaying of a deadline and the implementation of a complex and comprehensive law are, you know, deliberately sticking their heads in the sand or just willfully ignorant about past precedent.
Yeah. Here's my favorite part of that Boehner presser, though. And this mm-hmm. is the thing. You got to watch these things in their entirety, right? Because Boehner turns around and he goes, this is a giant bill that nobody read, and it's really weighty. And I'm thinking to myself, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you haven't had time in the last 3 years to read this?
Yeah. Even slow readers.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like John Boehner.
Like you, Boehner.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just online. It's published. It's available. There's a really good, I think it's the Washington Post book about it, where they write about how it got passed, and then the law is the second half of the book. I mean, it's available. I'm sure you can get it on an e-reader. Yeah, he can have somebody read it aloud to
right.
him.
Right, and have
someone
read
to you.
In the
last 3 years, I'm sure there's an e-book somewhere. Like, or an audio book, rather. I mean, there's ways for Boehner to have read this. So to stand up now, 3 years later, and say it's a big, giant bill nobody's read
right.
is ridiculous.
Right. It seems like somebody should have read it that perhaps is in charge of some sort of thing somewhere.
You would think. I mean, I imagine the general public, okay, if you haven't read it, I get that. But for the House Speaker to stand up and say nobody's read it, come
right.
on.
Right, exactly. Jay Carney again.
Yes. 1,159 health centers across the nation will receive $150 million in grant awards to help enroll uninsured Americans in new health coverage options made available by the Affordable Care Act.
Well, and as you say, Jackie, they know very well that by taking out both mandates, essentially, that's, you know, the linchpin of the whole bill, right?
Yeah, they're trying to dismantle it. Now, the community center money is a good thing because a lot of people who don't have health insurance or are underinsured end up going to clinics or community centers. So this federal money to go to community centers is essentially going to the front lines to help people understand what's available to them. Because a lot of people who are eligible for Medicaid or eligible, I mean, we had somebody call the other day who was asking about what kind of state programs are available or what kind of alternatives are available. They just don't know that they qualify for subsidies or they're qualified for Medicaid or some other sort of state program. So these community centers, to give them money to hire people to help explain the access and availability, is really smart. The other thing I just want to add, and I teased this a little bit in my news hit at the top of the hour, is that now Blue Cross and Walgreens are teaming up. They're going to launch a website and put out some brochures in Walgreens stores to help explain. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan, just simplistic explanation of what the law's requirements are of both consumers and of the insurance companies, what you can expect and what you can get. And so it'll help people, it'll break it down in simpler terms for people to understand what's coming in the Affordable Care Act and what they need to do. And then the Congressional Black Caucus is launching an 8-state tour later this month where they're going to go into underserved communities, primarily minority communities, and help explain how people get access to the health care that they need now that the law is going to be fully implemented. So there's a lot of different kinds of PR efforts to try to get out on the front lines and access people where they're most likely to be who aren't normally getting information they need to get health care. So we're making progress in a lot of good directions.
In another edition of What Now, Representative Peter Roskam, a Republican of Illinois, said, I'm not sure what he's talking about, but
late before a holiday weekend, the administration on a blog post essentially whispers, it's not working. Oops. This is a mess.
Well, he's not wrong that it was a rotten PR move.
It was.
It was done during
a Friday.
Right. But it was
you're going to do a news dump on a Friday over the 4th of July weekend. I mean, I'll agree with him. That was lousy. And I said it the other day, I don't see why the administration isn't giving a speech or saying this out loud or just put it out there.
Right, except that they didn't say it's not working. They said we're going to be flexible and allow, a delay in the employer mandate, right?
Right, but the fact that they didn't come out and talk about it allows Peter Roskam to say something stupid like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, they just need some sort of crisis communication PR 101.
Right.
You have to sit down at a table and go, okay, this could look bad. How do we avoid this?
Yeah.
So I think that was a bad move.
Oh, he whispered one more thing.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Okay. It's his main problem with the law. Okay. Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming.
We need to extend that delay also for every individual.
Yeah, I mean, what is the point of that, Jackie, when they know that, the administration is not going to do that?
Well, the more they delay, the more times they can vote to repeal.
Right. And make bad analogies, as Eric Cantor did.
If the president can selectively enforce a provision under Obamacare, what's to say that he can't selectively enforce or not enforce a provision on border security and an immigration package?
What? Huh? Wait a minute. What now? What's my immigration reform and my health care?
Well, can't be sore, because that was quite a stretch.
Yeah.
Is that covered under Obamacare?
Seriously. I mean, come on.
I think I pulled a groin muscle.
He's got a bigger bitch face than usual.
Yeah.
Oh. I should have stretched before that.
And Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota.
It's past time the president acknowledges the burden placed on everyday Americans, middle class families, and those who are already struggling to make it in this sluggish economy.
Sure.
Oh, you mean like the medical bill you get when you suddenly fall ill and your insurance company decides it's not going to pay, even though you've been paying your premiums on time for years? That burden?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really is incredible. They never go on to explain why. Like, this is obviously only going to help people, as you just were alluding to.
They get up to the podium, they scream something, and then they run.
Exactly.
That's the way D.C. works, though.
Exactly.
N-word!
All right. Jackie Schechter, thank you, Nurse Jackie. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. How's the belly?
Oh, everything's good. The tumbly is less rumbly now. Thank you.
Good.
All right. Bye-bye. There she goes, Jackie Schechter. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
You know what debuts on TV tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel?
What?
Sharknado.
What?
A superstorm hovers sharks out of the ocean, then hurls them onto land.
Awesome.
Could happen.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
It's a tornado. Of sharks.
The Weather Channel meets Shark Week. It's awesome. What's not great about that?
It's sharks forming a tornado.
So they go in the shelter to get away from the tornado, and they get a knock on the door. Land shark. Candy grab.
Rachel Maddow's going to have to do without me tonight. Lawrence in St. Paul here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lawrence.
How you doing?
Good.
You know, this is kind of, I'm going to link up the Affordable Care Act actually to that airplane accident in San Francisco. And it's all about the mind state. And here it is in two words. If that had been an Airbus airplane versus a Boeing, that accident would have never happened. And I'll tell you why. Because the Airbus will automatically go to full power when it senses a low speed like that, regardless. It doesn't need any pilot action. It will automatically go to full power.
Mm-hmm.
What does that got to do with the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think that's what we're all waiting for.
Here it is. Because Boeing had an opportunity to use this technology, but they were so strident and obtuse, they did not use it because they didn't think of it first. The same thing with Republicans. Mm-hmm. They didn't think of it first. They'll let people, the citizens of the United States, die because they are not in control.
Yeah,
interesting.
I hear you. Yeah. Interesting, and you nicely done, sir. You delivered on your promise. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Corky in Rochester on the Affordable Care Act as well. Hi, Corky.
Oh, Stephanie.
Hi.
Why are you and Weeze going to do a reunion tour?
When's what?
Weeze. You and Weeze.
Oh, me and Brother Weeze.
Oh, I'm from Rochester.
We ought to get on that.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to talk about
the old radio war horse tour.
I want to talk about their health care. This is how stupid they are. They mandate car insurance, okay? Now, car insurance, you might never need.
Right.
Because I know people that have never been in an accident, never hit anything, right? But health insurance, you're going to need, even if you never were sick all your life, At the end, you're going to go to the coroner's office because they're going to cut you open to see if you died of suspicious means.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to need health care for everybody because you're going to use it eventually.
Right.
But car insurance, you don't know if you're ever going to use it.
Right.
So why do they mandate one
and call
the other one stupid?
Yep, exactly. Hmm. Thank you. You are the smartest boy in class today. All right, Robert in Pasadena. Oh, pardon me. How's your hernia test going? Hello, Robert.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I think that one of the problems that we've got here again is that we're getting out-messaged by the Republicans, you know. One of the things that have been a big problem in the country is that 33% of all bankruptcies are caused by excessive medical bills.
Yep.
Yet I don't see anybody making a point of getting that message out. You know, they've been talking a lot about premiums going up and people forced to have to pay for policies, but they need to know that the upside is that if they do that, they will never, ever lose their home or go bankrupt because of high medical bills. They need to do a better job of messaging.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jackie's been saying that, and we're mm-hmm. doing our best over here.
Yep.
Oh, this just in, Sharknado stars Tara Reid.
And Ian Ziering.
Oh, right, wow. I think it's important everybody knows
yes.
that.
Yes, and star is in finger quotes.
Tara Reid was
what? Seriously? It storms and lifts sharks on the
ocean. It's like sharks. Tornadoes made of sharks.
Flings them on shore. Dad, it's a shark coming right at your head.
It's a Sharknado. Can you search literally, the Sharknado?
They literally lifted a Saturday Night Live sketch. It literally is Land Shark.
Yeah.
Somebody,
Who's there?
Land Shark. Candy Graham.
Candy Graham.
Someone once called Tara Reid America's prettiest bad actress.
Really?
Oh, that was
bless
unfair.
Her heart.
Calling her an actress is unfair.
All right, that's not what I meant by the breaking. The actual breaking news: the judge is allowing the jury to consider manslaughter in the George Zimmerman case.
All right.
I guess that might be good, Jim, because maybe he'll get convicted of something, as he should be. I mean, this is frustrating. The bejesus in this trial. I'm like, what? He clearly racially profiled, stalked, and mm-hmm. shot an unarmed kid. I don't care what the other details are. He was told not to follow him. I don't even understand what all the other details
clearly
matter.
Clearly, Trayvon was trying to defend himself from a guy following him with a gun.
Right.
So.
Right.
Help, I've got a gun.
The judge asked Zimmerman yesterday what his decision was on testifying. He said he decided not to take the stand after discussing it with his lawyers. And also I think that's a sign because a lot of his stuff was inconsistent, right, Jim? A lot of his story was very, and I think they would have made mincemeat of him on this stand. A Florida judge also ruled the Trayvon Martin cell phone text messages about fighting and the defense animation depicting the struggle would not be introduced. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Did you see they had the animator on? And apparently he made a bunch of changes mm-hmm. at the request of the defense. Like, you can't do an animation of something. You don't know what happened.
Right.
It's like, based on what the defense says, so then the jury's going to watch something that looks like what actually happened.
But, and apparently stupid.
Yeah.
Trayvon had a drone that was
right,
following.
Sure, that's what it was.
It was in
he
the animation.
Had a predator drone,
and,
yeah.
You know, what was he going to do? He had to shoot.
Right.
Clearly.
Yeah.
It was in the animation, so it must have happened.
Sure. It was on TV. It must be true.
Right. 29 minutes after. It must be true that sharks are coming out and flying out of the sky.
It's a tornado.
Oh, my
made
God.
Made of sharks.
Right
it's
back.
Sharknado.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sharknado. I never said that
Stephanie Miller
banged her way to the middle or that
Stephanie Miller
kidnapped a Swedish au pair to use as a hair farm.
What? What now? Boy, we get off track. We stay off track because
uh-huh.
we are obsessed with the Sharknado. It's a tornado made of sharks, dude.
It's a it's sharks inside a tornado.
Oh, God.
I have one simple request.
Right.
Is that I have some sharks inside a tornado.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Talking about the Zimmerman trial. Mm-hmm. Now, the defense rested yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It looks like prosecution will rest today.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I know there was so the one guy that was testifying, Jim, saying that Martin was likely on top, but they asked could he have been backing away at the time of the fatal gunshot, and he said yes.
That poor foam dummy. That got
right.
more abuse yesterday.
Right.
Did you? It's slamming him against the floor.
Randy was saying that she looked at the film again from the police
right.
yeah. footage, and that its wounds are really superficial. It wasn't something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Had he been slamming his head against the concrete, he would have had a concussion at the least.
Yeah.
Possibly a broken skull.
Yeah, and I heard somebody else saying yesterday, there's so many questions, Jim, but the other thing is, did he have to shoot him in the heart? I mean, the whole story doesn't really
help, I've
make
got a
sense.
Gun, and I'm shot him in the heart because he had Skittles.
Right. Oh, this is nice. Zimmerman, George Zimmerman's MMA gym offers customers the Zimmerman training program.
Uh-huh.
That's a selling point?
Right. Which Mediaite points out, would anyone want to learn how they can spend the year preparing to get their ass kicked?
yeah.
Zimmerman's mixed martial artist trainer testified that Zimmerman was soft when he began to train at his gym, and in over a year of training progressed to a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, a defense expert in physical self-defense further underscored that point, testifying Zimmerman didn't seem to have any abilities in that area. Although he was very versed in the Stand Your Ground law, interestingly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it might come as a surprise that Cocopelli's gym, where Zimmerman received his MMA instruction over the year, is promoting the George Zimmerman training program on its website, offering customers a chance to sign up now for information on Zimmerman's training. Really?
Oh,
really?
My
really?
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Manuel in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Manuel.
Oh, good morning. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm getting the feeling sitting here as I watch this thing, because I get a lot of time on my hands, that Trayvon Martin is being tried.
Yeah.
Right.
And exactly. It's like this guy's laying dead in the grave, and everybody's wondering about his behavior. What was he?
Right.
Did he smoke a joint this week, or did he do this? When the bottom line is that when that man got out of that truck and stalked that young man,
mm-hmm.
that was the crime in and of itself. And anything that happened after that became yeah. George Zimmerman's responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I worked in Los Angeles. I'm retired now, but I worked in Los Angeles for 15 years in law enforcement. I was a sworn peace officer in Los Angeles. And if I had a situation like that myself, I saw somebody and I was in a vehicle by myself as a law enforcement officer, I'd have called for backup.
Right. And isn't that
right.
the exact point that, you know, this is exactly why this ended the way it did, didn't it? Because this guy was not a trained police officer.
Right.
Exactly.
That's exactly why they told you, we don't need you to do that. You're clearly, the result is, you know, what happened is because he's not a trained police officer. You don't call in, oh, there's a suspect, when he's not suspected of anything except by you, right?
Right. I would have stayed in my vehicle as a trained police officer
yep.
and waited till my other unit came there, and then I would have approached. And my whole thing in law enforcement is to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. What? Yeah, it almost seemed like, you know, clearly like he wanted to pick a fight, right?
Well, exactly. He tried. Listen, you know, this thing, the people are going around the edges on this thing. And the bottom line here to me, I'm just as an observer, the bottom line to me is that they're trying to figure out a way to lower the value of this kid
mm-hmm.
in order
mm-hmm.
to save George Zimmerman's
right.
life
exactly.
and his freedom.
Yep.
So we can say, well, he was just another one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he didn't deserve the constitutional rights of protection through the broad band of this law that we live under.
Yeah.
And that gives George Zimmerman an out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I they were playing a clip, Manuel. Did you see that of the prosecutor, his opening statement, talking about the, you know, all the swearing that Zimmerman did on the first call, you know, like these...
Right.
These punks always get away with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was clear,
profiling.
You know, right,
yeah.
that he was profiling.
He was suspected
exactly.
of being black.
Yeah.
That's why he was a suspect.
Right. I can't remember what he said. These punks, these blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. They
yeah.
always. Carl in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. And meanwhile, he wasn't doing anything, right?
He's going to visit his
get
father.
Get away with what?
With a bag of Skittles.
Yeah. Carl in Vegas. Hey, Carl.
How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, I see this cartoon where it shows Zimmerman walking up on Trayvon Martin and doesn't seem to have anything in his hands, and I think I'd like to give a little scenario of my own. I think Zimmerman walked up behind Trayvon Martin with the pistol already in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said, "Hey, boy, what are you doing in this neighborhood?" And Trayvon Martin turned around, seeing the gun, tried to defend himself against a man with a gun and ended up being killed. And now they're trying to smear this little boy, this 17-year-old kid, didn't even get a chance to graduate high school, say he was such a bad person. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the trial should end right away as soon as they hear that he was told by the police to stay in his car.
Yeah, yeah.
He was told to stay in his car. And I think that if this man gets off, I think we're going to see a rash of these stand-your-ground murders all across this country.
Yep. Well, that's exactly
like
right. Yeah.
Gun lovers. I think Zimmerman thought he was going to kill himself, a little black kid, and then be branded a hero with a badge, and he's the great hero of the neighborhood, and he's going to get to walk up and down the neighborhood with people patting him
on
the back.
Yeah, and what is it with people like Sean Hannity making him a hero? How does he know what happened that night?
Doesn't.
I mean, it's just, that's what I mean. It's like, what? It's just, it's incredible. And how many times can it be said, Jim, how many experts have I heard on TV said the same thing? It is just counterintuitive to say it was George Zimmerman screaming, and then there's a gunshot, and it goes absolutely...
Yeah,
like,
goes
you know,
silent after the gunshot.
I mean, come on. Let's go to...
Help, I've got a gun. Bam!
Adrian in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Well,
hello.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, you know, as articulate as the defense lead lawyer is, O'Mara, and we know how articulate he is. He made a reference during the closing of the prosecution side, and he made the last statement he made was, Trayvon caused his own death.
Oh.
And that he said that because Trayvon is black. And what he was saying was, in the code word, was Trayvon caused his death because he was black, and he was in that neighborhood, and he didn't know who he was. And Zimmerman felt like he had the right to shoot the guy and kill the guy, which is totally wrong. So I know it is a racist thing.
Yeah.
However they want to look at it or however they don't want to look at it. That big elephant in this whole trial is the fact that the guy was black.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He had that tea, he had the tea can, he had the Arizona tea in his pocket. So if they said he was struggling, well, couldn't that have hit his nose a couple of times and caused to be damaged?
I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's
they actually
so
said that on Fox News, that, oh, that could have been a weapon. Really? Can you cite one case where someone's been killed with an Arizona can of tea? Kirk and Tacoma.
They are bigger than regular cans. I will give them
that.
Right. Yeah, but it's spongy aluminum.
Yeah,
it's not like steel.
I was, love your show. I was
How many guys I saw in high school do that with a Jenny Cream Ale beer can and survived? hey, Kirk, sorry, go ahead.
Of, it occurs to me that the stand your ground defense that George Zimmerman has mounted, had the scenario come out a little differently and Trayvon's struggle for his life had resulted in him gaining control of the gun and used it on George, I believe he would have had a truly strong stand your ground defense.
Right.
And I think that says a lot about the case.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, absolutely. Was that not a rite of passage in your high school? I think at pretty much every party, a guy went like that with his empty beer can when he was done.
That was more college.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
We drank wine coolers in high school.
Yeah.
You don't do that with
Skittles,
bottles.
I don't think, are fatal. I think we know from the 70s that only Pop Rocks are fatal if you drink them with Coca-Cola, and then you spontaneously combust.
Yes.
Like a Spinal Tap.
Sure.
Rubber.
And other urban legends.
Right. Okay, Karen in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Watching the trial yesterday, the blonde neighbor, Olivia, I cannot remember her last name.
Mm-hmm.
She got on, she talked about the home invasion robbery that happened to her. And that's when George Zimmerman suddenly became Mr. White Knight. He didn't even know this lady, but came in, talked about it 20 times with her, and the prosecution asked her, wasn't it true that it turned out that one of the home invader robbers lived in the neighborhood at the back of the tractor, whatever? Yes, it was. But they arrested him, but they released him because he was underage.
Mm-hmm.
George bought the gun right after that incident.
Right.
I think he mistaked Trayvon for that kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when you racially profile.
Yeah, but I mean, he went looking for, with malice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, you can hear it in the 911 call, the malice.
But my point is he went looking for a fight.
Yes.
He was going for a fight thinking it was the kid who was robbing houses. That was, you heard it all through the trial of the robberies because the kid lived in the neighborhood. So he sees a black kid with a hoodie. He thinks it's that kid who was, who robbed his neighbor. I don't think he intended to kill him. I think he wanted to kick his ass and, teach him a lesson, and he didn't realize, because to white people all black kids look the same, because it's been a scientific fact that we cannot differentiate, and he got the wrong kid.
But clearly
he said, he's on tape saying these effing punks,
right?
So he's obviously profiling him as one of these
people who
are breaking into houses.
Right, exactly. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio next hour. Very, very exciting. Let's see. Paula writes, Steph, I don't believe I've heard anyone mention if a cop shoots an unarmed man, there's an investigation into that. This law gives more rights to individuals than law enforcement officers. It makes no sense. And we just had a former LAPD guy call in and said, I wouldn't have followed him. I would have stayed in the car and called for backup because he was a trained police officer. I mean, it's a very good point. Thank you, Paula. By the way, we missed another awesome trial thing because we're so focused on the Zimmerman thing. Did you see any of the Whitey Bulger trial?
No, is that going on?
Didn't even know what a Whitey Bulger was. I thought it was a white supremacist direction.
No, The Departed was based on his story.
It was not a white supremacist direction at all.
White supremacist Bulger Wheat.
Right, right. He's the Boston guy that was hiding right out here in L.A. I missed him all these years. But it's just hilarious. The one of his, whoever ratted on him, the guy was on the stand. Mm-hmm. And he said, the attorney said, blah, blah, blah. He suggested he had beaten the system and he wasn't bothered by his participation in 5 killings. He said, how does it bother you? And he said, because we killed people that were rats and I had the 2 biggest rats right next to me. His name is Weeks. And Bulger said, you suck. He said, you, okay? And then Bulger said, you too. Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome. A lot of dropping of F-bombs. Mobsters shouting F-bombs at each other. How awesome is that?
Oh, by the way, tomorrow is Fridays with Fugelsang. We have him in hour 3 tomorrow.
Yes.
And he just texted me and said that he's going to be on Wendy Williams today with Omarosa.
That is so random.
And he says he's not talking about Syria.
Random. Really? I would have guessed Syria.
So look for him today on Wendy Williams.
Or perhaps Egypt. I'm not sure. By the way, speaking of Egypt, Kirsten Powers wrote a piece in the Daily Beast. And this, our friend Hot Bree said this to me the other day. She said, I think this is not a coup. I think that it was really a people's movement that was assisted by the military. And that's what this piece says. Egyptians, stop calling our revolution a coup. John McCain. The military stepped in as a response to the outcry of the people, Egyptians tell Kirsten Powers. She writes, Egyptians have been jubilant that their autocratic and dangerously incompetent president, Mohamed Morsi, was removed from power 1 week ago, but they're frustrated with lectures from American congressional leaders.
Yeah.
Grampy.
I was never a fan of his music either. Sorry?
Exactly.
Oh, not
no.
Morsi.
No,
guy.
Not Morsi. Okay. He also sucks.
Morsi.
Oh, I'm kidding. And some American journalists who have characterized the Egyptians' people's popular uprising as an undemocratic power grab. If there was one message, she writes, I heard repeatedly in speaking to Egyptians who were active in the protests, it was this, stop calling our revolution a coup. Their president, the Egyptians, know, was given the opportunity to meet the demands of the people, but instead delivered a defiant speech making clear he would continue to run in an undemocratic fashion. She writes, yes, this is messy. It's not what Americans envision when they think about a democracy, but the U.S. has been at this for centuries. It's been a year in Egypt. Mm-hmm. It's important to remember the military stepped in as a response to the outcry of the people. So anyway, so there, Grampy. Back to the old coup. What's not the policy?
I don't know. Nothing's your policy.
All right, by the way, in other trials, real quick, Zohar Tsarnaev. Oh, God, not this story again.
Uh-huh.
Zohar Tsarnaev. Boston Marathon bombing suspect has pled not guilty. Good luck with that. The first count, he leaned toward the microphone and said not guilty in a Russian accent. I thought they felt it necessary to point that out.
Not guilty.
Not.
Kind of like the ballet dancer in Chicago. No, not guilty.
Jeez, what? Really? You are so random this morning.
What?
Okay.
What?
What?
Cell Block Tango. No?
Oh, no. Nothing. I got nothing.
Did you ever see the movie?
He then said not guilty repeatedly about a half dozen more times, presumably also in a Russian accent, unless he switched accents for the other ones. Does he still have his fan clubs? You know, the jihadi? Remember
I'm
the cover
sure.
of the New York Post, all the girls that are like the Menendez groupies?
They've given up on the Menendez brothers, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And the guy, sick, hat, Zohar.
Not they're old and bald.
Eh. Zohar and dreamy. Okay, George in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Yeah, I just wanted to correct the misconception that two of your callers had, and apparently you have because you didn't correct them.
Uh-oh.
George Zimmerman is not mounting a stand your ground defense. He's mounting a self-defense defense.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
You know, you know the difference. You know
no,
the difference.
I do, but I mean, obviously, there was a lot of talk about the stand your ground law in you know.
Yeah,
in this...
there's a lot of talk about it in liberal circles that are trying to muddy the waters,
But
there's the no talk by the defense about a stand your ground defense. So let's get that clear.
Well, why was it cited so much in the beginning, including by Zimmerman?
He never said it.
Why was there testimony about it? They have obviously an expert that said that he took a course and knew exactly that was in the stand your ground law.
Yeah, but he's not mounting a stand your ground defense.
Right. George, but
that's
he lied and said he didn't know anything about the stand your ground law. They produced a witness that said he absolutely took a course on it.
You're getting off the point. The point is,
I didn't say. Look, that is not a legal. The legal defense, of course, is self-defense. That's what you call it when you're. That is your defense. Yeah. That's a legal thing. There's a reason they had an expert on that said he is an expert. In fact, in the stand your ground law, he took a course on it.
No, well, he took a course on it. That doesn't make somebody an expert.
So he lied when he said, "I don't know anything about the stand your ground law," didn't he?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Oh, well, I do. Well, I know you are.
Says,
and what am I?
Florida's stand your ground law is central to the case. It states that a person is allowed to use deadly force in self-defense if they feel their life is threatened.
Yes.
So
I mean,
whether
legal defense is self-defense, but because not every state has a stand your ground law. Florida does, is what the point is, in liberal circles. Kiss my ass.
Liberal circles.
Kiss my
people
liberal
like
ass.
You are talking about.
People
right.
in liberal circles that think unarmed teenagers
you know
shouldn't
what
be shot
lovers.
For having Skittles. Okay, Mike.
God.
Mike, I'm in a mood this morning.
You are.
Mike, it's not often I tell people to kiss my liberal ass. Hi, Mike in Ohio.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was just thinking that if roles were reversed and Trayvon would have shot Zimmerman, that Trayvon would already be in prison by now.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's why there was so much outcry about this in the beginning, is that he wasn't even charged. It's like, can you imagine? Yeah, you can go now. Jason in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jason. Hello, Jason. All right. Jason's talking to someone else. Okay. that's fine. All right. By the by, there is another piece by Len Greenwald about NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden in an interview on Saturday, and then again on Tuesday afternoon. Oh, another interview about how we should not make this about him.
That's right.
Right. It's not about me. Vehemently denied media claims that he gave classified information to the governments of China or Russia. He also denied assertions that one or both governments had succeeded in draining the contents of his laptops. I never gave any information to either government, and they never took anything from my laptops, according to Glenn Greenwald. Okay. I will have some more thoughts on this as we continue. And Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show. It normally is the Stephanie Miller Show, but this hour, it's Judy's show. Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us.
Good morning. All right, you had it a little off. Sorry.
It's the Judy Show. Thank you. Did you lower the...
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So I think everyone's awake now.
Hello.
Yeah.
You'll need to drop a few less F-bombs than you did in the first 40 seconds you were in here.
Okay. I know.
All right. Good to see you.
40. That's a word you can't say.
Yes. It was like it suddenly became a loading dock with you and I in the same room.
No, I've actually done this before. And
I know. I understand.
I have not done it.
I understand.
Not dropped them.
I understand. We've been doing comedy together since the Catskills.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Unbelievable.
And Judy is here in L.A. with her new one-woman show.
The Judy Show.
Right.
The Judy Show!
I didn't want to screw
it
up
again.
I tried
to not do it as loud that time.
Thanks. Okay. I appreciate that. It is, I'm told, fabulous and has been extended until August 4th.
Right.
At the Geffen Playhouse.
It could extend longer if all the people listening buy tickets. That was my mother. So it's been extended. It's great. It's fun.
Right.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, well, it is. You're speaking my language because it's 70s TV stuff.
You're going to love it. You are going to love it. It's about my addiction to sitcoms growing up and how I always thought I'd have a sitcom when I grew up.
This is here on the Stephanie Miller Show where dreams come to die. So
yes,
trust me.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, we have some things to serenade you with just to make you feel at home.
Really?
Here's a story
of
a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
we all knew and loved. As an awkward kid, what could be awkward growing up in New Jersey?
I know. I mean, 6 feet at 13. I fit in so well. I can't even tell you. And the people in my suburban, you know, New Jersey neighborhood were lovely.
You must have been scarier than a Sharknado.
That's funny.
Okay. Now, Judy, she's been giving me for like 25 years.
I said no S-bombs.
Sorry. I have a box.
That's what I heard. Hey, right. Lady.
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 Yeah, and I know you live in New York. I was asking if you were married, and I wasn't asking you to marry me unless you'd like to.
So I've been with my partner for 6.5 years,
right.
And we want to get married. But, you know, it's first of all, I have 2 children.
Right.
I live in a 950-square-foot apartment with 1 bathroom. Awesome. I don't even want to talk about that. So we really want, she will not move in with me unless we have 2 bathrooms. Now she wants 2 sinks.
That's love. That is
in
love.
The bathroom. She doesn't want to share a sink. Then, you know, it's ridiculous. So anyway, but you know how hard it is to find an apartment in New York?
Really?
So
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, so she won't marry me until we find an apartment. I'm like, Woody and Mia.
Somebody help Judy Gold out
together
from New York.
Can someone please get me an apartment this year?
So, back to your fantasies as a tot. You wanted to climb aboard the Partridge Family bus or join the Brady Bunch or run away.
I wanted to go to their houses.
Right.
Didn't you sit at home watching and go? I gotta go to. Even the project on Good Times was better than Clark, New Jersey, where I was from. But yeah, I would always dream of it. Here's the thing. I feel like today, you know, when I think of my childhood, I think of all these shows that were such a major part of my life and, like part of my growing up, like All in the Family and Mary Tyler Moore and all of these shows were, you could only watch them once.
Right.
Everyone watched them together.
Right.
And I really think it opened up a dialogue that normally wouldn't have happened, especially Norman Lear shows. He was amazing.
Yeah. Now, I share your Partridge Family thing because my mom was not a strong singer, and so it really would not have been better if mom sang along in my case. But if it were Shirley Jones, it clearly.
Oh, my God.
Right?
How about the theme songs? How awesome were all of those theme songs? They were all amazing.
Right. I know. Uh-oh. What? What's happening? There we go. Okay, now we're happy.
Now I see the little towel wagging and the eggs coming out.
Come on now and
see
everybody.
It's the animated, yeah.
And hear us singing.
You know what the best one was?
Yes.
I think one of the best ones was, we're moving on up.
No, I love that
Wasn't that the best one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Mary Tyler Moore.
Right. Right. And the hat.
All right. This is how queer I am. I actually have them on playlists that I
really
I go
in
to
your
the gym.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, I know. It's really. A... If someone took my iPod.
This is a good Stairmaster one. Or elliptical. And now it's your theme song in order to get married.
Yeah. I want to live on the east side. We could live on, that's the thing. We could live on the east side, but I live on the west side.
You don't even need a deluxe apartment, just
no,
a second sink.
No, I just
sink.
Need a deluxe toilet this side. That's what I need.
We have downsized our dreams.
Yeah. Deluxe toilet, one with
just
a lid?
Exactly. I don't even need a lid. I just want the toilet. God, it's so annoying.
Maybe when you get that, you can propose over the second toilet.
Sure.
Good idea.
Would
don't
you
drop the
plink,
ring.
Plink. Oh, there goes the ring.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, of course, the only show on TV is the George Zimmerman trial.
What is that?
Right.
Like, there's no other news.
Right. And in fact, we were talking about they wanted to do an animation. They wanted to
They wanted to show the animation
just what the defense says happened.
Right.
Right. And Chris in Yankton writes, animations at the Zimmerman trial? What's next? Finger puppets?
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't believe that all of these networks are just covering this trial.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else in the world is going on.
Well, because it's, you know, it has the OJ kind of elements.
Right.
You know, it's there's race, there's all kinds of things. And then you're having a flashback as Marsha Clark's on every channel again.
I know. It's unbelievable,
who's
isn't
my
it?
My buddy, my pal.
I love her.
I know.
I did Hollywood Squares with her.
Did you really?
Yeah, she's so great.
She's
awesome.
Years
ago, but she's so great. I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome and can knock back the scotch.
Really? Oh,
yes, as she has at my house a number of times.
Oh, I wasn't invited to the scotch party.
Because you live in New York.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it's so great. I love this trial.
Is that your Jewish guilt voice?
That's it. Yeah. I mean, the kids, first of all, we wouldn't even be watching this if he would have just listened to the police when they said, leave him alone.
Right. Right. We don't need you to do that. We don't need you to do that.
I just wish they'd phrase it more strongly. Like, don't do that.
Right.
Like, we don't need you to do that. Sounds a little wishy-washy.
Maybe. Yeah.
And he probably needed a direct order.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't seem like
we don't need
star.
You to do that, you deputy dog doofus. Get your fat ass back in your car. That.
I don't think it's...
He wasn't yet.
Yeah. I don't understand. You go to jail and you become fat? Like, OJ's obese.
Well, right.
And this one's obese.
Yeah,
I thought you don't eat in jail.
Right. OJ ate the original OJ, clearly. He's wow.
He's real. But Zimmerman, you look at the other picture and he's so fat.
Yeah.
I think Hal was saying that maybe his lawyers, I think, was it Hal? Tell me.
Yeah.
They encouraged him to get fat so he'd look less threatening on the stand. So
really?
How could this guy have done that?
I love the judicial system, isn't it? Great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's really
thank
good.
Thank you. She's not taking any crap, too, the judge.
Right. No, I know. And then the thing on the other channel that we're obsessed with is Sharknado, which did lose tonight. It's on the Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A superstorm sucks a bunch of sharks out of the ocean and deposits them on land.
Like a live shark?
Live sharks. There's sharks that are spinning in a tornado.
See?
Okay, and then they're dead, though, after they got out of the water, right?
Well, who knows how long.
We don't know what happened.
I think the tornado sucked a little water up in there so they can live for a little while inside the tornado.
Oh, that's exciting.
Right.
We should animate that.
We have to go back and review some land shark sketches to decide how long they could live on land.
Yeah. Do that right now.
And how they can knock.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wait. What movie is that from? God, I'm hilarious.
You're not a morning person, are you?
No. Why? Is it? Am I doing really poorly
now?
No,
you're doing great.
Everyone's just looking at their screens. It's unbelievable.
See,
you
this
cannot
is the kids
talk
today.
To people without.
That's right.
I mean, I went out last night, and my niece and I are playing Four Picks, One Word on my phone. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation.
I know.
Like, oh my God, what word is this? What word is this?
I know. This is what we were saying in this airline crash in San Francisco because they were trusting the gadgets and they're like, no, but the runway's right there. No, it's not. The gadget says, oh, okay. All right. It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
The runway was right.
the concrete was correct.
Too soon.
That was the word. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
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 No, the really horrible part is all the people who had all these horrible spinal injuries.
Oh, I know.
And internal injuries
head.
And.
They
you know,
all hit their head at the top.
Right. Yeah. And then the latest news today is the pilot told them not to evacuate. Just to,
yeah, what
just
was
to
that?
Stay there.
Yeah. I'm guessing you wouldn't have taken that guff.
Oh, please, no.
No.
Well, I would have been in the emergency exit, which I would have paid thousands of dollars extra so I can get 3 inches of extra leg room.
Right.
That's what I would have been.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what I did on a 777 coming back from Europe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm guessing all that thing when you have to say, will you assist other people, and you say yes in an actual emergency?
No, no.
Hell no.
How about how they ask you, are you aware you're sitting in the emergency exit? Yeah, I paid an extra $200 to sit here, so I am well aware I'm sitting in the emergency exit.
Do you think anyone's ever been honest? Will you assist? Are you ready, willing,
oh,
and
I
able?
Oh, yeah. And they're,
yeah,
like,
sure.
Yeah, and you,
sure,
have to raise,
no,
your hand.
No,
and
you're all going
to
die.
How about how they have to make eye contact with you now, and they're all like, hmm. And they just look. Yes, I'll do it. It's unbelievable. And half the people are like 90 years old in the emergency exit.
Yeah.
You know? They're not helping anybody.
Yeah.
But you could step on them on the way out.
Yeah,
they may, they'd be a nice cushion, little, you know, kind of little trampoline,
yeah,
to get more lift on their way out of the plane.
Yeah. I guess you shouldn't sit in the way back or the way front.
I've been told that the back of the plane is probably the worst place you could sit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in most crashes, they go nose first.
Well, then that would be the best place you can sit.
That's some sort of revenge against the top 1% in first class.
Sure.
Isn't the over the wing the best place to sit?
Really?
That's what my mother always said.
It depends on how you crash.
If you're in a water landing, yeah. Cause
yeah. Did your mother ever explain why you should sit over the wing?
No, she doesn't explain anything.
Like
the Hudson River.
Right, they all went out on the wings.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Maybe
he
your mother
was amazing. That guy was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe your mother was right.
She's always right, apparently.
And
according to her.
He resigned from the business because they were cutting his salary and eliminating his pension.
Yep.
And he, After that.
Right.
After that.
Yeah, Sully Sullenberger.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Really? He'd be like, are you kidding me? I landed a plane on Hudson. Really?
What are
you
going to do? Everybody on board.
Don't drop the F-bomb. Don't drop the F-bomb. Beep.
That's because you don't this.
I know. All right. Doing well.
Don't be jealous.
I haven't done, have I said anything?
No.
No.
Don't be jealous of my box.
Okay.
Oh, my
I've always
God.
Been jealous of your box.
Well, you know, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Judy Show.
The Judy Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
All the world's waiting for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah!
Wow.
Serenading Judy Gold with 70s theme songs.
Yeah, Wonder Woman, baby!
Who doesn't look good in satin shorts? What? Okay, 1-800.
Linda Carter did.
Yeah, she still looks great.
She's amazing.
Right.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, she does.
And
yeah.
She's really great. You know, she's very pro-gay rights and
mm-hmm.
does
right.
a big advocate.
She's on
I
the
love
show.
Her.
Yeah, she was on the show. And they went to, you guys went to, I think Travis went to see her sing in Jackie.
That's right.
And
really?
She was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, she's great. Very talented.
Exactly. I wonder if she wore the special bracelets, the bulletproof bracelets.
Yes.
I think she did a jazz version of the Wonder Woman theme, if I'm not mistaken.
Awesome.
She did?
Yeah.
I remember there was an episode.
How can you not remember, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, I didn't go.
Right.
Yes, I didn't go. Travis went.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I remember one episode where a building actually fell on her, and she looked perfect when she came out. There was no makeup.
Yeah.
Her hair was all perfect. You know, as you do.
Right.
Right.
Hey, that happens to me all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Judy's show is at the Geffen Playhouse here in L.A., and I'm told it is fabulous. I'm going to see it.
You better come. No, I'm not kidding.
Listen,
you're going to love it.
You know I've been terrified of you for 25 years.
Oh,
you know
God.
I will go.
You are. You better come. I'm not kidding.
I will come. It is hilarious at the Geffen Playhouse through August 4th, or it may be extended.
Right. If all of your listeners call up and buy tickets.
Okay. She's doing her Jewish guilt
yeah,
voice.
Yeah, I'm
just
waiting
do
for
her.
I don't, you know, Edward Snowden, I don't understand. Isn't his mother like, Edward, what are you eating? What's going on there? I told you not to be. Why are you? Oh, I said to not to be in tattletale and look at, what is wrong with him?
Did they have good food in asylum? And Venezuela. What sort of food?
Yeah, the Moscow Airport Sbarro. That's
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know what you think. I was just talking about this. Glenn Greenwald had a piece. It just seems like a Jim, I know your thoughts are on this, but it just seems like they're making it all about them.
Right.
You know, okay, so he gave two more interviews to Edward Snowden to talk right. about how we shouldn't make this about him.
Right.
And then Glenn Greenwald finishes this article by saying, I realize some U.S. journalists see the world as beginning and ending with American borders, but as these events demonstrate, we have actually been continuing to publish extremely significant NSA stories that are prompting all sorts of debate, investigation, and reform around the world. Isn't that just scream me, me, me?
It's all me, me, me.
Look what I'm doing. Look,
yeah.
How do you do that? Like, what would prompt you to do that? I just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's some things that shouldn't be secret that we should know about.
But, you know, Jim was talking, we were talking yesterday about the Pentagon Papers.
Right.
That's just a totally different thing, right. in my opinion. He cites a new Quinnipiac poll, which I hadn't seen, that show Americans now have positive views of Snowden's actions despite all the demonization, as Greenwald writes.
Right.
55% said Snowden was a whistleblower, and 34% say he's a traitor. So,
I'm just talking like he knew this was going to happen when he did this.
Sure.
So
right.
I mean, I could not. What do you pack? You know?
Yeah.
You know,
I'm difference. Never coming back here. What do I want to bring?
Daniel Ellsberg stayed in the country. It was a right. different
yeah.
world back
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the war on winning or women is...
the war on winning?
Yeah.
Well...
It's called losing.
Yeah.
Listen, it's what my life has been about.
Yeah.
It is really... frightening what they're doing state by state with abortion stuff. Texas, the House voted Wednesday to give final approval to proposed abortion regulations in Texas. North Carolina GOP, did you see this, attaches mm-hmm. abortion restrictions to a motorcycle safety bill with
yeah.
no public notice. North Carolina House Republicans pushing legislation that would restrict abortion access, attaching the measure to an unrelated motorcycle safety bill and giving neither the public nor the Democratic legislators
well,
any advance notice. And then it passed in committee.
Oh, it's so infuriating. And it's all white men.
Right.
It's all white men. You know what? If you don't want to have an abortion, don't have an abortion.
Right. Right.
It's like with gay marriage. If you don't want to, if you don't believe in gay, don't marry a gay person.
Right.
Do not have an abortion. We already settled this whole thing. Why
yeah.
did, and it's, oh, it's so infuriating
yep.
to me.
Yep.
And what about with the probe? The
transvaginal
yeah.
probe. Yes.
I didn't know if I was allowed to say vaginal. You know, I'm getting all these looks, like, don't say it,
you're
don't say it.
Getting all these notes.
Vaginal, penile. You can't have a penile probe, right? It has to go in the...
Right. Well, it has to be really
It has to be an
tiny.
Anal probe? All right, I just right. wanted to say anal, penile.
All right, I think you've covered it now.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it. I haven't said nasal. That's pretty
nasal.
That's dirty.
Nasal, yeah.
My point was there. Anyway, yeah, but I mean, it obviously was good news at the Supreme Court on marriage equality, as
yes.
you were talking about. And now I think the good news is it's state by state. There's a lot of challenges being found because it's ridiculous to
it
say you're married
yeah.
in New York and you move to, you know.
Right. You get transferred somewhere or something,
right.
you know. The whole, yeah, it is beyond ridiculous. The one that pisses me off.
And a lot of people move, like, to be closer to family. And
right.
I love that. Like, the family values party. So, no, that's too
right.
many family values.
If you think about gay marriage, is such a Republican family values
yeah.
issue.
Right.
I mean, everything. Even Edie Windsor with DOMA. It
right.
was, it's about taxes and inheritance tax and
right.
how unfair that was. I mean, me marrying my partner, how does that affect you?
Right.
How
right.
is that going to... And all those people that think
well,
it's a
it
choice...
it affects me personally because it breaks my heart. Because, as you know, I've worshipped you for many,
oh,
many
God.
Years. But you're right. Other people. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lots more to get to with Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is the most perfect woman ever created. Like a young Bo Derek, stuffed with a Barry Goldwater.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian Judy Gold live in studio. You can see her here in L.A. at the Geffen Playhouse in the Judy Show, which is fabulous. And I'm going to see.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After you see it, then you'll really know how fabulous it is. What about you two? You're not coming?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll be there. Okay.
All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2 the phone number.
I would love to go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Toll free from anywhere. Let's see.
Sure.
Jim writes, Steph, I've always held to believe there is no oxygen in those masks that drop from the overhead compartment. They're simply to muffle the screams of terrified passengers during emergencies. Jim writes, so thank you, Jim.
Jim, that's true. Very true. Mm.
Donna in California on the Zimmerman trial. You're on with Judy. Hello, Donna.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I wanted to let you know I've been watching it very carefully, and they explained that the reason that they couldn't be more adamant to Mr. Zimmerman to stay in his car is because of the stand your ground. Uh-huh. And had they ordered him to stay and anything would have happened to him, then the state would have been liable.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah. Can I be your official retired paralegal of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Oh, please.
Sure.
Yes. Please. Thank
you.
One. Okay. Thank you so much. Let's go to Garrick in Indiana on the Zimmerman trial as well. Hello, Garrick. You're on with Judy.
It's Garrick in Los Angeles, and I'm your official undercover brother. I was your security guard, but I also was your PhD candidate, filmmaker for Obama also.
Awesome. All right.
I want someone to put my foot in this. Maybe George Zimmerman should have had a black 911 operator, so he would have got it. Zimmerman would have been like, are you following him? Zimmerman would have been, yes. The black 911 operator would have said, no, he's not Yellow Brick Road. Sit your ass down. Your name is George? Okay, you don't need to be curious, George. What you gonna do is you gonna play gatekeeper. You gonna meet us by the front gate, and don't forget to sit your ass down.
That's a great accent.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
there was a cop that called in earlier that said, I wouldn't have followed him. I would have waited for backup, you know? I mean, it's just ridiculous, the whole story. All right. We were talking about the kids today and the gadgets, Judy Gold.
Yes, the gadgets.
Right. That's how you know you're old and crotchety.
Here's how annoying it is. Ben, my younger one.
Right.
So he's hugging me.
Ben is 11.
Ben's 11. He's going to be 12 in August. Okay. So I should say 12, right?
Okay.
11 and a half.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5'8 and has a 12 and a half men's shoe. Anyway, it's going to be huge. So he's hugging me. He still loves me. The other one can't stand me. But he's hugging me, and I hear like click, click, click behind me. He's texting while he's hugging me. I'm like, really? You can't even hug me?
Right. That's the moment I knew I was old, when I saw a group of teenagers all texting. I'm thinking they're all texting each other and they're right there.
Right.
We have totally lost the art of
conversation.
It's beyond.
It's beyond. I ask people in the audience sometimes when I'm doing stand-up,
right,
like, have you ever taken a walk without your phone? No. I mean, it is. I really think it's bad.
But you know what? Kids learn the art of brevity when they're texting. They keep their points succinct and short.
They don't know how to spell.
Good luck writing an essay.
Right. They don't know how to write
exactly.
Or spell. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You are. No, it's YOU'RE. Okay? I told them if they don't spell the words out, I'm not answering their text. I did. I'm done with that. It is. Everyone is looking down. Like, if you walk down the streets of Manhattan, everyone is looking down 24 hours a day. Or you get out of the subway and they're walking really slowly up the... I'm like, move! Just move! Like, you could get to where you're going
faster. Or they're standing in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Cars bearing down
on them. I'm going to be late because I'm in here texting the entire way. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be there in a few...
I'm crossing the street!
Yeah. Apparently there's a film of people actually walking in open manholes while texting. Which is great. Awesome.
Oh, that was good, Oy Vey. I like that.
Thank you. Your oldest is 16?
He's 16. He's going to be 17. Uh-huh. He went to prom. You can't say the prom. You have to say prom.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Wasn't it the prom? I didn't go to the prom. Anyway, but he's like, I'm going to prom. So his girlfriend is older than him, and she's going to William & Mary. So that, you know, and he's going to be a senior.
Right.
And so who knows what that
is. Yeah. Who knows?
Apparently they had a good time at prom.
I heard the coolest story, a gay guy that, you know, did not get to go to the prom when he was in high school, obviously. He recreated a prom when he was an adult. And that was so that he could actually have a prom.
And
it was fabulous, I'm told.
Isn't that just like a party where you get dressed up?
Right.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Right. I don't know if he went for the powder blue tux that we traditionally wore.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's we?
Well,
did you go to prom?
Tommy wore, my boyfriend wore powder blue tux, and I.
Oh, you went to the
and
prom.
And I wore a horrible home perm.
You did?
Yes.
I permed my hair, too. I have curly hair.
And you permed
And I permed my hair.
Yes, me too.
Barbara
me
Streisand.
Too.
And,
me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, what is wrong? And who,
yeah.
First of all, you go to the hairdresser, and you say, I want a perm. Like, doesn't the person say, well, your hair's already curly? Like, what is
right.
that?
Yeah.
No, I have Japanese straightening now.
You
I went the other way. Right, well, as my hair got straighter, I got gayer. But anyway, my point is...
Tonight, folks, Whoa!
Now, here's my point. No, but yeah, I did the same thing, because I have really curly hair, and my mom gave me a home perm, and so I looked... and also I did an orange spray tan, so I looked...
Oh, that's really, an attractive look.
Yeah, Link from Mod Squad, basically.
Right.
Like, I'll never forget the
if
look...
If Link were a carrot...
Right, yeah. I'll never forget the look on my boyfriend's face. He just went, "Oh!" when I came to the door, and he goes, "Oh, it's wow, it's big."
And that's what you said, Leonard.
Yeah.
Good night,
right.
folks.
You just made a joke. All
okay.
right. is that hard when the kids start dating? Because I'm a childless loser, as you know.
Yeah. You know, it's hard, peer, you know, like they get to an age where they hate you. You're the worst mother in the world. I hate you. You're not fun. It's great when your kids are like, you're not funny. And why can't you get a regular job like everyone else? I mean.
That's so cute and supportive.
And I know. And yet the friends always want to come to my house.
Yeah.
They're always like, your mom's really funny. And they're like, no, no, no. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they like me underneath all of their, you know.
Right.
You're annoying.
Right. Where could they get that kind of wise-assness, I wonder?
That
sort of sarcasm.
It is.
That sort of sarcasm
like,
and fake negative.
It's good. Because you know why? Because in my whole parenting technique, they can be abusive and nasty and mean, but they don't get in trouble if it's funny. Like, if they get a laugh.
You're raising little Don Rickles.
I mean, it's unbelievable. We laugh all the time. It's bad.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's the other story that told me why I am old. Do you know what twerking is?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, see, probably because you have kids.
That's
right.
When you kind of bend over and move your butt up
yeah.
and down. Yeah, or side
well,
to side.
I've called it something else.
They know.
It's a dance move.
Oh, right, right.
Right.
Jay-Z apparently is blasting Miley Cyrus's twerking obsession. Right. The rapper has once again hit out at the 20-year-old singer for her obsession with twerking, which is described, Chris, as an energetic dance move made popular by Nicki Minaj, which involves a person shaking, wobbling, and bouncing their hips and butt up and down.
Yeah, that's twerking.
How is it different than normal dancing? I don't understand.
No, you're kind of bent over and you're...
And she invented
yeah,
it. That's the thing. She invented it.
Oh.
No one ever did it
and your
before
butt goes
she did.
Up and down like that. It's like flapping.
Okay, we're
that
on
sounds,
radio, so if you go
well,
like
no, we're
that,
on TV, too.
Oh, hi.
That sounds like a seizure in some way, but all right.
a hip okay. seizure, yes.
Yes. Anyway, he said she represents an old world's worst nightmare.
You know what's amazing? So my butt goes up and down like that when I just walk.
Right. So maybe you invented twerking, and then
yeah.
Nicki Minaj stole it.
Yeah.
From you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think she owes you a fee.
Yeah, she owes me a few squats.
Sounds like it's
going to
be great
lunges.
For chiropractors.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 years from now.
Yeah, right.
Chiropractors going to be filled with
oh,
former
wow.
twerkers.
You're twerked. You're seriously
yeah, here's
twerked.
The other thing I don't. Did you see in the New York Times they had a thing about tattoos? It was last Sunday. Or
no.
And it was all of these women, and it was about. There's a new book about women and tattoos. But anyway, there was an elderly woman, and her whole arm. You know, that
wow.
you know how they do the whatever
yeah.
it's called?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these people are not, it's not going to look good. Like, do they understand that once they start sagging, you know?
Yeah.
They're all going to run together. It'll just be a little
right.
California raisin. They'll all run together and you can't see. Yeah.
It's like weird not to have a tattoo now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I remember my ex had she grew up partially in Israel and she got drunk one night.
I love the Israelis.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
She got
so
drunk one night and went to the Palestinian side to get a tattoo. And
no.
So, yes. And she still has it. And she wanted a fleur-de-lis. But
right.
I'm pretty sure whatever it is says Jews die. I think
right.
there's something.
It's, right.
Yeah.
Swastika.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was this?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So what happened when she came home? Oh, my God, what did you do to yourself? Why are you doing this to us? I cannot believe this. You understand? You cannot be better than a Jewish cemetery.
All right.
Oh,
and Judy Gold in the role of the irate Israeli parent.
I cannot believe what you do to this family.
All right. They're just covering a Palestinian tattoo on her
right.
daughter. That was stunning. That was a stunning
Thank
impromptu
you very
performance.
Much. Thank you very much, Stephanie. I miss having you in the family.
All right. 45 minutes out of the hour. Back with the remaining moments of The Judy Show right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
All right. Okay. Perfect. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere, Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, who apparently everyone in the world is listening to right now, according to Facebook.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. I got so many emails and texts and Facebooks.
Yes.
Whatever you call Facebook alerts. Saying how much they love listening to me on Steph.
There you
they
go.
They call you Steph.
There you go. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
You have a lot of fans.
Aw. I love you back. And we've been serenading you with love songs all morning.
Yes.
Because.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
The Judy Show.
Mighty sailing man.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Did you know that, you know, Sherwood Schwartz created, you know, first of all.
Brady Bunch, right?
Right. He created the Brady Bunch because he wanted to put a blended family on television.
Right.
And he created that so that people from different socioeconomic backgrounds
right.
would have to get, you know, and people,
right.
like, you know, think it's just fluff.
Right.
But he really had these, you know.
There was a point.
Yes.
Exactly.
He had,
Right.
And Mrs. Brady was the first divorced character on television.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I know, right?
That oh, my God!
Divorced woman, no yet. Yeah. Right. How dare she move on with her life?
And apparently he was a deadbeat dad because no one ever saw him during the entire,
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
And no
send
one...
a check once every 3 years.
Yeah.
And actually it was more blended family than we knew because he was gay.
But, I know, exactly. I love the way
But no one mentioned it was K. Right. Judy's show at the Geffen Playhouse through August 4th.
Yes,
unless
you, all you listeners,
right.
you know, buy
right.
tickets.
It is described as her hilarious life story through the sitcoms we all knew and loved.
Yes, that would be true.
Right.
And you would all enjoy it.
Does Uncle Arthur make an appearance?
Did you see that after Marriage Equality passed? Someone said, my uncle is a gay warlock.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Okay. By the way, speaking of Marriage Equality passing, as we know, all straight marriages everywhere are perfect.
Right.
Right.
I know.
For instance, this headline, woman hires hitman to kill husband because it's easier than divorce.
Well, you're going to see a lawyer either way.
Yeah, so. True.
Yes. A video secretly recorded by Michigan State Police, a detective says she and her 27-year-old husband were getting along well enough, but she wanted to make a clean getaway, and putting a hit on him was easier than divorcing him.
Sure.
Wow. She said, you know, I didn't have to worry about the judgment of my family, didn't have to worry about breaking his
Just
heart.
Just the law.
All the stuff like that, she told the fake hitman.
Oh, God.
Murder
what a
thing.
Quality person.
That's sweet.
Great.
That's
yeah,
sweet
nice.
That she didn't want to break his heart.
It really is.
Maybe
she wanted
to shoot him in the head.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, put a bullet through it, but
sure.
right. I didn't want to hurt him.
Oh,
okay.
And gays can't get married.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like bachelor and bachelorette and, you know, all right. that because the sanctity of marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not to, you know, not to be in a feminist frenzy this morning, but just another example. Guys are gross. The headline is covered man caught peeping on women from inside restroom toilet.
Oh, from inside
God.
A toilet. How do you get inside a toilet?
Ew. Are you serious?
These are gross. I'm just saying.
And
is
apparently very
true?
Tiny.
Yeah, he's like a tiny bowl man.
Oh,
tiny
God,
man's
that
a perv.
Is disgusting.
Isn't that disgusting?
Women don't do this stuff.
He must be a hobbit.
No, yeah. exactly.
Was it a porta potty or something?
The Keystone Fire Department Not the Keystone Cops, no. The Keystone Fire Department. We're called to the Whitewater Park in Oklahoma to help extract a man found peeping on women from inside a public restroom. Yeah.
A septic tank.
That is really.
He was reportedly caught after a woman and her 7-year-old daughter spotted him peering up at them from inside the toilet.
Oh my God! Yeah. That kid is going to be completely screwed up.
Right. I'm always
sure he's never going to go to the bathroom.
Right, right.
I mean, they're going to be like, Mommy, I have to pee. Going, now I can't. I'll never go in the bathroom again. I'm never going in a public bathroom.
Should have learned how to pee standing up.
I know. And I thought I had shy pee syndrome. I mean, really,
Oh, my God.
Because I am always afraid in public toilet something's going to, you know, bite my ass. But you know what I'm saying? This is, Firefighters had to hose him down. He was covered in human waste.
Oh, God, I'm going to throw up.
Okay.
Sorry.
How about this one? He told deputies his girlfriend struck him in the head with a tire iron and dumped him in the toilet while he was unconscious.
Wow.
However, the evaluation did not reveal injuries consistent with his alibi.
He seems trustworthy.
On the girlfriend. That's nice. The fact that he has a girlfriend. I have so many people who were gorgeous and single, and he has a girlfriend. He's laying in a pile of crap looking at people urinate and poop.
I'm just looking at chicks from the... Or why, honey?
Oh, it's so disgusting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks for that visual.
How about this headline? New York nun gets jailed for stealing $128,000 to feed gambling addiction. I think it's a story about the Catholic Church that's not involved.
Right.
Altar boys being
right,
diddled, so
exactly.
People are like, oh.
What did she like to play?
Roman Catholic nun going to jail for stealing almost $130,000 from a pair of New York parishes in order to feed her gambling habit. It does not say.
It doesn't say blackjack, roulette.
Oh, it says she pilfered money at a bunch of grubby casinos in Western New York. And that's where I first started my comedy career. Grubby casinos in Western New York.
Right.
Who didn't? Being from Buffalo. Yeah.
Exactly. I love Buffalo.
Do you? I started the Yuck Yucks, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I love the town restaurant. They have really good rice pudding.
Oh, rice pudding. Love it. Love it. Okay.
And, of course, the buffalo chicken wings at the end.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Cornelia in Chicago, you're on with Judy. Hello, Cornelia.
Oh, my God. This is the first time I've gotten through in years.
Oh, my God.
I adore you guys, but I'm calling to tell Chris that I'm totally in love with him.
Oh, dear.
Aw. He's been sitting there all these years working so hard, and I hardly noticed him. And he's got this gorgeous, he's been wearing these gorgeous colors of these shirts, and he's doing something with his hair.
He is fashion forward.
I don't know what's gotten into him, but I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Well, I'm sure it's
wrong
mutual.
Tree. Keep barking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Barking dog, meet wrong tree.
Yeah. Aw, that was nice. Thank you, Cornelia.
That was very sweet. It is fat. What color is that?
It's some kind of fabulous yellow.
Look at those muscles.
Is that Yellow Brick Road?
Sure.
By Judy and Company clothing?
Yes.
Whatever.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
No, Judy.
Yes.
Not Judy Gold, I meant Judy Garland.
Oh,
you know, friends of Judy understand what I mean. Now,
friends of Dorothy.
Right. That's
right.
Yes.
Get the phrase right.
Judy played Dorothy. I apologize. Yes.
Surrender Liza.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me. They've made me get all my references wrong. All right.
What the homosexuals have done to me.
Okay. John Travolta says playing a woman came
naturally. Speaking of.
Yeah. Oh. What a good transition.
That was a completely unrelated story.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
John Travolta says playing a woman came naturally to him. He said he's always been inspired by erotic screen sirens.
Sure.
The girls.
He protested emphatically.
When he had the chance to play Edna Turnblad in Hairspray, he said he had no trouble mastering an effeminate walk.
Hmm.
Wow.
I bet you need a massage after you have to do that.
Yeah. Did you see the Dustin Hoffman interview?
Yes. I was talking about it.
Yeah.
I know. He is a really good actor, and it would just help him get laid more, but it was really touching.
I know. He really was emotional.
Yeah. Talking about how when they couldn't make him a more attractive woman, it made him realize how many great women he had missed because they didn't conform to a certain standard.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, there's no reason for us to even keep talking because Lady Gaga has shut down her Twitter account.
Oh,
what?
No.
So I'm
sure the end of civilization is next. No, don't know. She has a 39 million... I think I'm close to that,
aren't I? Oh, can some of them come over to me?
Yeah,
I'm
how about
like,
me?
Yeah.
Isn't Twitter like high school? You're like, oh my God, she has more followers than I do?
Judy Gold, you and I are, you know what, we are givers. Come to us.
Come to us, please,
Lady Gaga Twitter followers. We will shelter you.
At SM Show, what is yours?
At Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y.
Oh, come to us.
Get it? Because I'm Jewish.
Give us your poor, huddled monster masses that have nowhere, no one to follow on Twitter.
Please, follow.
Please, follow us.
Follow.
I'm at Radio Guy Chris.
Follow.
You used to have to start a cult to get followers. Now you just have to open a Twitter account.
Yeah. You know who you need to follow live in person is Judy at the Judy Show at the Geffen Playhouse here in Los Angeles. Do it! How do you get tickets?
I guess go online for Geffen Playhouse or call the box office or just go there.
And we'll put a link up at Stephanie Miller on Facebook.
Up.
There you go. It's already up. We love you, Judy.
I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for being had. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.